Matt, what's the most people that have ever been in a fantasy league in which you play?
I feel like 12 is the max.
Thank you.
Because, you know, after 12, you start to run out of players to draft, and you're having to start. I'm trying to think of just a random receiver.
Russell Gage.
Yeah, I was about to say Russell Gage. That's so funny. Yeah, you'd have to draft Russell Gage in your league. So that's a rule. Never go above 12 players, and never draft before Labor Day, I would say, is another rule.
That's pretty late,
yeah,
though.
That's, you know.
I mean, it takes a lot of coordination. You know guys like me, Matt, who have too many leagues. If you save them all for Labor Day, like, you're busy the whole week.
That's true, but I mean, there's so many things that come into focus right before the game, like Amari Cooper signing today.
Yep.
And there are going to be more moves like that probably throughout the week. So, yeah, I mean, if you had picked Isaac Garendo last week and then the 49ers signed Brian Robinson, you might not be quite as high in that Isaac Garendo pick as you were prior to the trade.
What about the Juwan Jennings pick that will be made, I'm sure, by somebody in this cockamamie 16-team league? Where would you put him on your fantasy draft board, considering what we know right now about his willingness and their availability?
I would still draft him. I wouldn't draft him really, really high, because I think that he's somebody that could get a lot of reps early on, and then if everything goes according to plan for the 49ers, he probably doesn't get as many targets later in the season, because you've got Brandon Ayuk, you've got DeMarcus Robinson, et cetera. But, I mean, obviously things are at a standstill right now. No one's quite sure what's going to happen. I will say, though, that he's got a lot of money tied up this season in incentives. So, you know, if he's not playing 17 games, if he's not there out there you know, every game, more unlikely to reach those incentives. So basically I'm saying he has an incentive to get something done and to get onto the field. The 49ers obviously have an incentive to do that as well, given the state of their wide receiver room. So I still feel optimistic that he's going to be out there for week one against Seattle.
Matt, are we comfortable officially just saying that this is a holdout and not an injury?
No, I'm not. We don't know. Some holdouts are so public that you know everything that's going on. Juwan Jennings has decided to not make himself available. His Instagram post the other day suggests that it is. He certainly wants to get a long-term deal done. It just doesn't seem like that's in the offing right now. Now, whether he takes that to the next level, whether there's more issues once the week of practice before the Seattle game starts, I don't know yet. Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch will talk to the media on Wednesday. That's one day after their initial roster is composed. So I can guarantee you that the first 13 questions will be Juwan Jennings related.
And when you look at tomorrow and cut down day, how do you think they're going to navigate this with, assuming that they don't have resolution with Juwan Jennings? Are there some receivers that might get kept temporarily while Juwan Jennings is still trying to figure this out?
Yeah, I mean, I can't see how they can avoid doing that. And we're talking Russell Gage, we're talking Robbie Chosen would probably be the two veterans that you would keep around. And it's a good, argument between those guys. Who would you prefer? Right now, Russell Gage isn't even practicing. He's got a knee issue. So, it might be down to just one, Robbie Chosen. I do think that the 49ers are going to scour the waiver wire. We learned today what we probably expected was that they were in on, or at least interested in, Amari Cooper. Not interested in paying Amari Cooper a lot of money, because they're sort of in this awkward situation where they don't have any receivers to begin the season, but by midseason they could have their whole core of receivers back. So you don't want to commit a lot for someone who's only going to have a bit role with your team. But I do think that, you know, the waiver wire will be something that they look at very closely, because that's something where you don't have to commit a lot of money to somebody. If Kendrick Bourne is made available, and some people in New England think that's the case, that to me seems like an obvious add, someone who could come in very quickly and get up to speed with the offense and help you out even as early as week one. So there are maybe a few guys in that category, but you know, for the most part, it's Ricky Pearsall. It's hopefully, for the 49ers, from the 49ers' point of view, Juwan Jennings, and then Sky Moore. Those are your 1, 2, and 3. And don't ask me to name 4 through 6. Right now, that's a little bit up in the air. You know, what I just wrote about in The Athletic is that, you know, on the flip side of things, they are deeper at running back. They do have a blocking tight end this year. You know, they're one of the few teams that have a fullback. So theoretically, they could just, slightly change their philosophy. If they're weak at wide receiver to open the season, maybe they go a lot of 2 tight end sets. Maybe they go a lot of 2 tight end, 2 running back, 22 personnel. They at least have the option to do that if there's a true crisis at wide receiver.
Matt Barrell's with us here on Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game, talking out all things 49ers. By the way, while we're on receivers, Matt, it was reported earlier today when Amari Cooper went to the Raiders that the 49ers were one of the teams calling and were potentially in on him. Is that your understanding as well?
I don't know that from my reporting. I think that's Diana Rossini, my colleague, reporting that. She's always right on this stuff, so I believe it. And it makes total sense, because, you know, 49ers were in need of wide receivers. He was the best wide receiver remaining as a free agent. I actually asked specifically about Amari Cooper, I think it was when Jordan Watkins got hurt. And, you know, Shanahan said, yeah, these are some of the things that we're going to have to think about if this continues to be a problem. So would not be a surprise at all if Amari Cooper was on their call list.
I do wonder, though, if you go sign somebody like that who has a little name value, like maybe, I mean, you know, what if it's Gabe Davis tomorrow or what have you? If you bring someone like that in, what if things go well health-wise as the season goes on, and then there's DeMarcus Robinson, and then there's Brandon Ayuk, and you get your young guys back, who I know they want, in Jordan Watkins and Jacob Cowing. Like, how many wide receivers are you going to keep in the middle of the season?
Yeah, that's the counter argument to adding a big name guy, that after week 6, you might not need that guy. You know, but by midseason, you could have Ayuk, Jennings, Pearsall, Robinson, Watkins, and Cowing all in your lineup, all healthy. And Sky Moore. I didn't even mention Sky Moore there. So it does sound, you know, like they could have an embarrassment of riches at some point. The counter argument to that, and I'm sure there are thousands of 49ers fans screaming right now in their cars, is that between now and week 8, there are bound to be additional injuries at that position. So you can make the argument that you can never have enough wide receivers, especially on this team, especially given the injury situation that they've had this year. But yeah, I do think that it's going to be somewhere in the middle. They could find a serviceable wide receiver, somebody who knows this offense, has been either with the 49ers, like a Kendrick Bourne, or who has played in Green Bay or Miami or one of these other places, Los Angeles Rams, where you could easily come in and hit the ground running in San Francisco.
How big of an addition is Brian Robinson to another room that seems like it might be a little bit thinner than what the 49ers want?
I think it's big. I think it's potentially very big. I think the 49ers, you know, they feel like Christian McCaffrey is back. He looks like himself, but, you know, he's a running back in the NFL, and he's approaching 30. So you can't rely on him to be a 17-game starter. And then they look at the number two back or their former number two back in Isaac Arendo, and you look at his injury history. And they just needed another reliable body there, and they got a big body. And like I said earlier, I mean, this could be a team that maybe runs the ball more than it throws the ball to begin the season. They have the wherewithal to do that. I think that the Luke Farrell, he's the big blocking tight end that they signed in free agency. That could be a big component of this. I think they end up going two tight end a lot more than they did last year. They barely did that last year. And I think it's something that they want to do a lot more, and that would allow you to get away with having fewer wide receivers.
Matt Barrows, The Athletic, here on the 49ers. Look, we haven't even gotten to Jake Moody yet, and we certainly need to. Like, I know what they said, and I get the draft value and all of the reasons, but inside their hearts, like, I saw those facial expressions, Matt. So did you. How do you think they're feeling about this situation right now?
I think that they're willing to go into the season with Jake Moody and, you know, thinking that he's going to find his groove at some point. But if he doesn't, I think that they believe they've got options. I mean, you know, they cut Greg Joseph in early August, and he's still out there. You know, we're coming up on roster cutdown day, so that there will be more, not fewer, kickers available after Tuesday. So I just feel like they are pretty confident that, okay, even if things go south with Jake Moody, we will have an option at kicker. And, you know, there's always the possibility of injuries, too. Jake Moody, you know, had a severe high ankle sprain last year. They had to find extra kickers. There are a whole group of kickers that are basically journeymen and go from... They're like, David Banner on The Incredible Hulk, just kind of hitchhiking down the road for the next opening that pops up. And there's, you know, six or seven of those guys every season. And the 49ers are pretty familiar with one of them, and Greg Joseph. I think he would obviously be their first call should that happen.
How much leash or slack do you think Jake Moody has if he comes out and has a bit of a slow start?
I mean, does it cost them games? You know, if he goes 3 for 5 in Seattle and the 49ers win by 10 points, I don't think it's gonna matter. If it comes down to a 35-yard kick at the end and the 49ers are trailing by 2 and he's wide left, yeah, I think that'll be very problematic for this team. I don't know if it's one game, I don't know if it's two games, but I don't think the leash is as long as the 49ers are saying it publicly.
Matt, it feels like the Niners are all banged up. And then I was reading all of your reports, everybody who was out there, that Pooney was on the side, and maybe there's some optimism there for his availability for week one. And I started thinking that, like, outside of Ayuk and Mustafa, who can we sit here today and say we know is a key piece of this team, and we know they're not going to be available for week one? And all of a sudden I was like, well, nobody. Like, is there a chance this team is actually relatively healthy come next week?
Yeah, you know, that still doesn't mean that they're deep at that critical spot, wide receiver. I mean, right. DeMarcus Robinson can be perfectly healthy, but he might not be playing the first 3 weeks because of his suspension. I think it's clear that Jacob Cowing is out for an extended period. I mean, he's a IR candidate. It doesn't look as if Jordan Watkins, the rookie wide receiver, who looked so good in the spring and early summer, is going to be back for week one. Week two, week three, I think that's more of a possibility. But, yeah, I mean, that was the hope all along. That was what was sort of Kyle Shanahan's saving grace, was that, yes, they had a lot of injuries, but very few of them were season enders or even ones that would kind of bleed deeply into the season. And the hope was that they'd start getting guys back. I mean, one of the guys who hasn't come back yet is Upton Stout. You know, he had one of those calf injuries that they initially said was going to last a week, and it's been, you know, more than 3 weeks now. since he's practiced. So I think they're starting to get a little bit nervous there. He's looked really good. He's still their number one option. But, I think it's a real silver lining that Chase Lucas looks so good in the preseason. He got his opportunity because of that Upton Stout injury. He made the most of it. And now I feel like they're a little bit more reassured at that spot if Stout isn't, in fact, ready.
Is there anybody on the roster now who won't be tomorrow that you think would come across as a big surprise on cutdown day?
Tim Kawakami and I had this discussion on our podcast, and he picked Isaac Guerrero. I can't see that just because Jordan James, if they got rid of Guerrero, James would be their third running back, and I don't know where he is as far as coming back from his finger injury. But the guy that I've thought about all offseason really is Jair Brown. Their highest pick, what was it, in 2023, third rounder. That was when Steve Wilks was the defensive coordinator. Steve Wilks had a big hand in bringing Brown here. Steve Wilks is now with the New York Jets. I think that it's shaping up to be Jason Pinnock and the rookie, Marquise Siegel, as the starters in Seattle on September 7th. The team also has Richie Grant. He was back in practice today. I think that they'll probably at least consider keeping Cerron Neal because he's sort of a versatile piece. He can play safety. He can play cornerback. He's really good on special teams. It might mean that Jair Brown is expendable. I'm sure they're interested in or at least you guys turn these into headlines, so I have to watch my wording carefully.
Say it, Matt. I got my pen out. We're gonna I'm about to tweet it. I'm on Twitter now. Go ahead.
It wouldn't surprise me if they got on the phone with the Jets and Jair Brown's name came up because of that Steve Wilks connection.
Okay, hang on. Matt Barrows.
Barrows predicts Niners Brown likely.
Do you like the word likely? How about likely? Matt Barrows says it's likely that Jair Brown is traded to the Jets. Do you want me to hit post?
Yeah, 49ers insider, colon, big scoop, Jair Brown on his way to Jets. No, that's not correct. I'm just saying it's a vague possibility out there.
Okay. Hey, what were your first impressions of Brian Robinson Jr.?
Well, he's the biggest 49er tailback out there. He sort of reminds me of a bigger Jeff Wilson in that sort of linear tall guy, sort of runs upright in that way. He had his first practice today, just did a very, it was a light practice overall, and he was just getting his feet wet. But his size sticks out, and he spoke to the media afterwards, and he's obviously intent on making a mark on this team. I don't think he's someone who's coming in to kind of hold the clipboard and ride pine. He expects to be worked into this offense this season.
Matt Barrows says Brian Robinson will start by week 3. Post.
Breaking.
Okay. Yeah. All right, we got everything we need, Matt.
you've been aggregated. Appreciate it,
Matt. Thank you for trusting us with your words.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me on, guys.